Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago's Black Business Network exists to assist you, the individual business owner, in your efforts to reach the next level of service and growth. We have some powerful resources in Chicago. Open the door to opportunity at chicagosblackbusinessnetwork.com. Enter. There is no charge. At chicagosblackbusinessnetwork.com, we are here to network. Are you? Join us today and touch the world. Hundreds of members are waiting to connect. Chicago's Black Business Network is dedicated to the legacy of the late Mayor Harold Washington. Let us not forget his service to the city of Chicago.
Thank you.
Welcome to Chicago's BlackBusinessNetwork.com on Blog Talk Radio for Tuesday, December 1st, 2009. This is your host, Sonia Perdue. CBBN on Blog Talk Radio is a promotional tool for the members of Chicago's BlackBusinessNetwork.com. Currently, our organization has more than 500 members, and this is where our members come to share information about their products and their services with you, the Blog Talk Radio audience and the world. After the opening announcement, you are listening to a piece that was written and composed by pianist Boise Queen, a CBBN member. It is titled Grace Steals in the Rain. Be sure to contact Boise Queen on our website for all of your musical needs. This show and our website are both dedicated to Mayor Harold Washington. It is our way of giving respect to his memory and all that he did for the city of Chicago. He was our mayor from 1983 until his death in 1987. CBBN is dedicated to keeping his name up front and on the minds of the people of this city. Jacqueline Robinson, founder of Dream It First, will be joining us for this segment of CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. Ms. Robertson is known as the Dream Sister, and during this hour, she will show you how to define your personal success and stay focused as you journey towards your goals. Because I know, you know, we all know that we get off track many, many times in many, many ways as we travel down the road of life. So the Dream Sister has joined us this evening to help us with our mapping skills, so that we can get to where we really want to be. Please call in with your questions. Our call-in number is 347-326-9477, and I will repeat that. Our call-in number is 347-326-9477. The chat room is open. You can sign into the chat room as a guest. If you want to sign in under your name, you need to sign up for Blog Talk Radio. Leave your company information and website links in the chat room. This is how we network also. Press the number 1 if you would like to speak to our guests or if you have a comment. If you're listening to us on the Internet, you may want to switch to a media player because it's my understanding that the sound is much better than it is directly through the Blog Talk website. So that's another choice for you. You can listen to us live at www.blogtalkradio.com/CBBN. That's blogtalkradio.com/CBBN. CBBN on Blog Talk Radio did not broadcast last week. We took the week off. But we want to thank our guests from the previous week. We always give a shout out to them. Professional storyteller Mama Edie Armstrong shared a lot of information about the business of the storyteller. We hope to have her back real soon. We didn't have as much time that we wanted with Mama Edie Armstrong. She's full of information. I mean, we did a huge email blast the next day to our members with a lot of links and a lot of information. Also joining us was Mr. Robert Earl Lewis, who is the owner of All for Kids Enterprises in Homewood, Illinois. All for Kids are the producers of the Urban Kids I Promise series, which are stories for the urban kids, actually for all kids, your kids, my kids, all kids. It was a pleasure speaking with him. Mr. Lewis has so much to share with us about the publishing of children's books. That was an interesting conversation, and we'd love to hear from him again. Before we go on to this week's guest, let's get a few of announcements out of the way. It seems that our show runs 2 hours normally, and it always seems that I get to the end of the show and all of these announcements and all my sponsors I've just left out in the wind, not intentionally, but sometimes we really, really get into it, and that's really great. That's what we want to do, but we have to do a little housekeeping here. Chicago's BlackBusinessNetwork.com is proud to announce that Black Wall Street Chicago has joined our network, and together we anticipate that this will be a purposeful and powerful connection for the members of CBBN. 2010 is going to be a stellar year for our organization. Come and join us at ChicagoBlackBusinessNetwork.com. Come and grow with us. Now, Ron Carter, who is the chairman of Black Wall Street Chicago, will be hosting a segment of CBBN on Blog Talk Radio right here with us on Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's beginning December the 10th. His segment will be on Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. beginning December 10th. I will continue as host on Tuesday evenings, and that focus will be primarily for our members to present their products and services. So we're going to keep with the theme and the mission statement. We're going to keep our doors open for our members. We want you to watch for Black Wall Street Chicago on WLS at noon and at 6 p.m. on Saturday, December 19th. That's December 19th, noon and 6 p.m. Reporters Harry Porterfield and Cheryl Burton did a half-an-hour segment on the now-designated Black Wall Street District and with the chairman of Black Wall Street Chicago, Mr. Ron Carter. Once again, the show will air December 19th at noon and will repeat at 6 p.m. on that same day. Be sure to join us in congratulating the Black Wall Street family on their success. We look forward to working with and connecting with Black Wall Street members. Our call-in number is 347-326-9477. The chat room is open. Leave your company information and website links in the chat room. Press the number 1 if you would like to speak to one of our guests or if you have a comment. You're listening to Chicago's Black Business Network.com on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Sonia Perdue. We're going to take a short break here, and then we're going to be back with our guest, the Dream Sister. Thank you. We're back, and this is your host, Sonia Perdue, and this is CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. That was Aquamarine from Santana, just a very nice, mellow, and smooth sound, and that's how we're going to do it this evening, so just sit back and relax. If you are Chicago's Black Business Network.com member and you would like to have your music featured on our show, simply send us an MP3 link and contact me for details. Our guest this evening is Jacqueline R. Robertson, founder of Dream It First. Ms. Robertson states that to dream what you want begins with a thought. All you need is a thought and an idea, and you've taken the first step towards changing your life. Each of us is in need of a little inspiration from time to time, and sometimes we just run through our lives wondering where all the time went, pretty much like we're in a hurry to get to the finish line. But in this hour, we're going to relax and listen to some great smoothing music and the Dream Sister, who is here to tell us about fulfilling our dreams and our aspirations. Welcome to the show, Ms. Robertson. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Sonia. Thank you for inviting me.
We hope that everything is going well with you. We spoke with you earlier today, and it was an absolute pleasure and a learning experience, and we're sure that our listening audience will have the same experience. Let's start by telling the Blog Talk Radio audience about the Dream Sister. Who is the Dream Sister?
Well, my name is Jacqueline Robertson. They call me the Dream Sister. People refer to me as a dream manifestation expert, basically because I know that dreaming is basically the 20% effort that will give you 80% of what you're looking for in life. In fact, everything starts with a dream.
When you say that everything starts with the dream, you know, people, unless you educate us, unless other people educate us, unless we know, when people think of dreams, you know, they think about being asleep and laying down, going to bed and having a dream. When you think of dreams, when you say dreams, Ms. Robertson, what is it that you mean, Jacqueline?
Basically, I'm referring to a vision. You have a vision of what you want. We refer to that as a dream. You may not know how you're going to manifest that dream or when it's going to happen. That's none of your concern, but you do have an intuition or a vision, which is basically an enlightenment or an illumination of something, a goal or objective or dream.
Okay. Is a dream, okay, when you have a vision, I have so many. I have little notes sitting up here of the things that I have visions about. And I'll tell you a couple of them. I want my book published. I want $1 million. But we're still talking about a husband and a home. So excellent health. Are these dreams, are these visions, are those my visions or my wishful thinking?
Well, everything starts with a dream, and they definitely can be a dream. After you have illumination of a dream, of any dream or any vision, the next step after that is to build up a faith in that dream prior to having a demonstration. So they can very well be dreams. The difference between a dream and a want is that you don't build up a faith or an affirmation of that thing that has been enlightened to you. And that's the difference between a want and a dream.
So a want is probably my wishful thinking. A dream is probably more so what I'm going to pursue. I won't just say I wish I had $1 million. It's more of a pursuit. Is that what it is?
Yes, I would say so. In other words, what do you do afterwards indicates whether that is a want or just a dream or a want. In other words, we can all have visions of something and we don't do anything to manifest that dream and just stays a want and doesn't go anywhere. So it's up to the person whether that's going to become a dream or is it just, you know, something in passing that you think, oh, I think I might want to do that. That's not a dream. Dream usually is something that you have a enlightenment of and you have a passion, a feeling that goes with that. Because basically, all dreams that are given to you are given to you by your creator. If that dream wasn't for you, it wouldn't have never been given to you. So any dream that you can conceive, you can achieve. You've heard that before. But basically, that dream is given to you. And what you do with that dream after that is up to you.
Okay. Well, you refer to, on your website, when I look through your website, you refer to something as, you make a reference to dream attitude. What is a dream attitude? How do we get that?
Well, basically, after you have a dream, then you have to have a dream attitude. In other words, how are you going to approach that dream? Basically, a dream attitude is having a proactive, I can approach towards that dream that's been illuminated to you regardless of what's happening in your exterior world.
Okay.
And learning how to stay focused on that dream and not get caught up in a reaction with the things that are going to happen simultaneously to you setting up that dream. Because simultaneously of setting up dreams, you set up obstacles to occur. So the way you're going to counter those obstacles is what we refer to as a dream attitude.
Okay. And probably a dream attitude, or like any of it, probably requires training. Because we're using words here that people don't use in normal, everyday conversations. They don't have discussions about my dream attitude. They don't even have, they have discussions about dream, but not so much anymore. You remember maybe, I remember when I was younger, people used to talk about their dreams. I dreamed this and I dreamed that, and it means that and it means this. You know, you never talk, they were discussing them after they woke, and they had meaning for them beyond the dream state. They had other meanings for them. So it's not a language that we use all the time. And you said something else here, staying focused. It's one thing that I said in the introduction, staying focused. Once you get this dream, staying focused. You know, we wander all over the map. We might have a destination, but we just pretty much lost, Jacqueline. We're lost out here. Help us.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And that's why I'm out there, to help people to stay focused.
How do you stay focused? I mean, I'll start off the hour to do something. I mean, that's how much I wonder. I'll start off the hour. I will write it down. And do you know, before 15, 20 minutes, I am not on that task anymore. And it's the truth. I'm on something else that I think that I want. And I don't, am I overwhelmed? Is that a fault? I think it is a fault. I get things done, but I'm disappointed at the end when I look at my little schedule that says I'm going to do this for an hour, and I haven't done it because I'm over here doing something else for 2 hours. So focus, mm-hmm. Being focused seems like it's something very difficult, Jacqueline. It is for me. Some people may have this gift. How do you get focused?
Well, it's maybe easier said than done, and then it can be reversed. It's not as hard as it appears to be. Once you have enlightenment of a dream or vision, and you have that burning desire, that's the passion that will ignite you to continue towards that dream. That dream has to really become a way of life. In other words, you have to think it, speak it, and walk it. And if you're doing things that are not in alliance or accordance with that dream, of course you're going to become unfocused. We all use tools to do any job. So when you have a dream, you have to use tools to help you stay focused on that dream. So you want to read things that have to do with that dream. You want to put yourself in situations and environments that have to do with that dream. You want to talk with people that have anything to do with that dream. You don't want to involve yourself in anything that's not in sync with that dream, because it's going to take you away from that dream. It's like you go to church. You go to church every week to stay focused on where you're going. And if you go a couple of weeks without going to church, then you're probably going back to some of your old behavior. Well, the same thing with a dream. You have to constantly motivate yourself every day. And you hear people say, well, that motivational stuff doesn't work. Well, if you don't bathe every day, it doesn't work either. You have to motivate yourself every day. You can't take a bath one day and then go 2 weeks and say the bath didn't work. Of course it's not going to work. You have to do it every day. You have to bathe yourself in things to keep you focused. What are you reading? Who are you talking to? Where are you going? You know, are these things in sync with your dreams? A lot of people say they have a dream, but yet they look at TV that diverts them from their dream. They listen to a lot of garbage on the radio, garbage on the TV. They're around negative friends that deter them from their dream, and then they think they're going to stay focused. It's not going to happen. It has to become a way of life.
And it's pretty much, and what I'm hearing, and I think what I'm hearing, it's like feeding ourselves. It's it's an internal hunger, a different type of hunger that needs to be fed.
You're feeding your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is fed by the conscious. So whatever comes to you in your conscious mind is fed to the subconscious. The subconscious mind is under control of the conscious mind. That's why they refer to it as the subconscious. So you're constantly programming that subconscious, and the subconscious mind is what goes to work to attract things to you, and that's where the law of attraction comes in. So in your awareness and conscious mind, you're looking at garbage and talking to people about garbage. You're basically feeding your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is just leads you to your dream. So only thing you can do on a conscious level is stay focused, stay positive. If you're spiritual, even the Bible says whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So basically, he's giving you the instructions to manifest your dream. You have to stay focused on the positive and not the negative surrounding your dream. Because the negatives may be facts, but there's no truth behind those facts. Truth is that you have the inborn right and potential to dream and go anywhere you want in this world, in the universe. The key is to know who you are and what known roles to take. There's books out there. There's radio. There's TV that will keep you focused on your dreams. But a lot of times people are looking at stuff that deters them from their dreams.
And there's good radio and there's good TV, too, people. Don't get us wrong now, because this is good radio.
That's what I'm referring to, like the radio station that people are listening to today. This is the type of stuff you need to inundate yourself with. On TV, there are selective TVs that you can look at, you know, radio, TV, books. I mean, it's out there. Things, your mind is like a thing, and things attract other things. They're like magnets. That's the law of attraction. Whatever you think on, you attract that thing to you. So if you're looking for opportunities and things to happen in your life, then you have to have right thinking in order to attract those things. And that's only going to happen by reprogramming the subconscious mind, which is only going to happen by having things come to your conscious awareness every day. When you say, hey, you know something, I think I want to be this or that. That spirit is giving you that because Spirit wouldn't have given you that if you weren't capable of obtaining that goal or dream objective. The next thing after that is to just stay focused on it. Just think about it day in and day out. And then the way will be shown to you, and the gestation period you may not have control over it, but you will have a demonstration. So there is a science to manifestation of dreams. And I have a book coming out called Dream It First, the 80-20 Law to Manifestation of Your Dreams. And that's what I share with the readers in this book, that there are laws, spiritual laws, to help you manifest the dreams in your life. And it is a science, and it's not a skip and miss thing. If you do this, this, and this with a law, you get this. There's mathematical laws, physical laws, science laws, and they all say if you do this, this, and this, you get this end result. Well, the same thing with spiritual laws. And once you start getting awareness of this and you see these laws working in your life, then you're going to be motivated, on track, and that's what keeps you focused. And one of the things, a few of the things that will keep you focused.
You're listening to CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sonia Perdue. Our guest is Jacqueline R. Robertson, CTM, founder of Dream It First. Jacqueline, what does the certification CTM mean for our listeners?
CTM is a designation that you get as a Toastmaster, meaning that you are a confident speaker. I do motivational and business speaking, so that's one of the first designations that you achieve to show that you can talk, basically.
That's great. Now, this is kind of a long question. And you mentioned universal law, and this came to my mind after we spoke today. So I want to preface my statement. Now, every time somebody says universal to me, I'm looking up at the stars. But at least my mind just started thinking about the stars and the planets and all this type of thing, and which is inclusive in the universe. But there's so many programs, Jacqueline. There's so many signs, so many instructors, priests, evangelists, yogas, mogas. It's just so much out here. It's no surprise that people are.
Yeah, you're inundated. Yeah, you're right.
it's so much. I give you an example. I was surfing Blog Talk Radio, and I like Blog Talk Radio, so I just surfed through and listened to different shows, and a young lady had been repeatedly meeting a man in a parking lot, giving him money because he said he was an African spiritualist and he was going to drive some bad spirits away from her. Now, I've noticed all about her mind too. Now, how I do, that's an example. So she was confused. She was telling this whole story and I got stuck on this show because I was just surfing, you know, but I got stuck, and I wasn't the only one stuck. The room was filled with people just listening to this, you know, but she was confused. I mean, she was believing this man. You know, she went the whole story. She was very honest and blunt about what she was doing, that they were burning candles, and he was giving her something, and she thought all these things she was thinking, you know, but they are over. And he had some followers out there, too. He had a little group. You know, I'm not saying any names. He had a group of little followers that he was out there doing all this stuff with, this African spiritualist. Now, people will come to you with all of these different things. How do we recognize and identify universal law? And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. How do we identify it in a beneficial way from us? How do we distinguish these things that in a good way for us?
Well, anything that's outside of yourself, that may be a first indication, is letting you know that you're on the wrong track. Seek thee first, the kingdom, and everything else will be added. Basically, that's saying that seek yourself first, then everything else will be added. An individual needs to know who they are, and when they know who they are, then that's the first step, and they wouldn't be out seeking someone else to let them know who they are. I mean, you wouldn't go out looking for a fortune teller, would you? Because you kind of know who you are, right?
No, I wouldn't, but...
Okay, but people who don't know who they are, they don't know who they are, you know. Seek thee first, the kingdom means that... Find out who you are. I mean, even, you know, great philosophers say, know thyself.
Okay.
A man is as he thinks, you know, so you have to know who you are. And that comes from studying yourself, reading books, and you have a enlightenment, an illumination of who you are. And then when something comes along that's not in sync with that, you won't go with that.
Absolutely.
So people who are in search of self and they want a quick fix and they'll go to anybody that will tell them what they want to hear, they'll get caught up in that, you know, and that's what they refer to, you know, if you're in the church, you hear them saying demons and Satan and all that, and that may be that. So it's not right thinking is what it is, because nothing can be prophesied. Spirit says you won't know the duration. You won't know the how. You just have to know your what. You're not going to know how it's going to go down or when it's going to go down. No one knows. But you do know the want. And that want is enough to pioneer that dream because spiritual law will do the rest. You ever wanted something and you wanted it so bad, you stayed so focused on it, and you just like, I don't know how I'm going to get it, but I just know I'm going to get it. I don't know how, and I don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
You stay so focused on that thing, the end result, you had a manifestation. You see, here's the steps to manifestation. In other words, you have to have illumination of something, enlightenment. Okay, all dreams are basically created and molded, and I share this with my reading audience in my books. The law of creation says that all dreams are basically molded after the same law of creation when God created the universe. And the first thing was, he said, let there be light. In other words, that means illumination of something, okay, a discernment, a recognition of something. In this case, a discernment, a recognition of a dream. And then secondly, he said that there was a ferment of land, meaning a buildup of faith. Okay, these two steps have to happen prior to the demonstration. And then the third step, he said the dry land appeared. So basically, there has to be illumination of something. You have to build up a faith in it, and then you will have a manifestation. So the key, basically, after having enlightenment or recognition or discernment of a dream is to build up the faith in that dream. And the way you build it up is it becomes a way of life. You walk it, you talk it, you feel it. And anybody that's not in sequence that dream, you're going to drive them away because they're going to like, oh, I don't want to go around her because all she talks about is so-and-so-so. So that's cool. But the people that are in sync with that dream, that's what you're going to attract. And before you know it, you're going to hear, you know, Mary's over there. She opened that business or so-and-so-so-so-so. You know, it's lonely on the way up to the top. You know what I'm saying? It's not lonely at the top, but on the way, you know, because you're doing something to deviate from the norm. I mean, if the norm was the norm, why aren't they successful and prosperous? It's only 20% of the people getting 80% of what they want. That's the 80-20 law.
Okay.
Full effect.
And it may be less than that, but
well, we know it's not more than that.
You know, it's not more than that, is it? Is
no,
that more than that
less.
At all?
Yeah, some people say 3%, but it's never more. And that's the law.
That is true. I think we talked about D.A. Williams today, and I think D.A. said 2% the other day. He said, no, it's 2. I think it's only about 2%. But
yeah.
He wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to know what the problem was. He wasn't feeling it that day.
Yeah.
But
basically, what they're saying is this: you got less people doing it than that are doing it. You know, and if you find yourself doing what everybody else is doing, know that you're not on track. Because if 80% of the people were doing what it took, why can't 80% of the people not successful? Prosperous, not say prosperous, not just financially. I'm saying mentally, physically, and emotionally.
So you need to do the opposite of what you see 80% of the people doing, because that's
well,
a problem.
Well, basically, what I share with my reading audience is that once you identify that 20% in anything, you want to do more of that 20% and alleviate the efforts you previously applied in the 80% areas. Because the 80-20 law says that 80% of your efforts, no, I'm sorry, 80% of your results in life will come from 20% of your efforts. So you get more with less, and it's not hard. It's not forceful. So once you see what's working in your life, you want to accent that and alleviate the other areas and just focus on the 20 in order to get the 80. And you could, that's applicable with relationships, business, family life, in all areas. Because that is a law.
It doesn't sound hard, Jacqueline, but we're having great difficulty with it all over the world. And because, and possibly, and you tell me, because of the distractions, because of the type of distractions, because of the type of what's being fed to the masses, that is what's keeping them distracted. The struggle. I had a conversation with someone in Chicago, for example, if you get two tickets now, they can boot your car. It's putting people under pressure, keeping them strained, and in that frame of mind, and you tell me, Jacqueline, they can't think about these other things because they're so focused somewhere else, and to me, that's part of the problem.
Well, I won't say they can't because God gave us free will. That's the thing.
All right, all right.
Want, okay?
All right.
Now, when you exercise free will one way or another, you have consequences, okay? So this is where spirit comes in. Spirit means it's something tangible, intangible. You don't see it, but it is there. So you're seeing and hearing all this stuff. You're hearing all the negatives, just like the example that you brought up. But just know that they may be facts. There's no truth behind those facts. The truth is that you're love, joy, peace, prosperity, and abundance, and you're made in the same image of God, and there's only one mind, and that mind is God's mind, and that mind, I know it's mine, but it should be yours also. So if you stay focused spiritually, you're not feeding into the concrete. You know what I'm saying? You're staying focused on universal truth. Regardless of what's going on, you have the inborn right and potential to have that dream manifest. Of course, that stuff is going to go on. It's going to go on to the day you die, but the ones that don't feed into it are the ones that succeed. You see, that's a difference. And when we talk about dream actually, it's the difference between reacting and responding. And you react or respond with something with your thoughts. And when you react to something, you allow that thing to take your dream away, opposed to responding. When you respond, you're just being responsible for what's going on. You're aware of it, but you're going to do it anyway. And you get back to that dream. Because the things that matter most in life should never be at the mercy of the things that matter least. Those things that's happening, they matter least. But it's almost like just the strong survive. You don't feed into it. You know, if you know my backstory, then you would see that I've overcome a lot of obstacles in my life. And people ask me, well, how did you be able to accomplish all these things and then stay focused on your dream and not get caught up? Well, I had a bigger dream, bigger than those nightmares. And if I didn't stay focused on my dream, I would have got caught up in those nightmares with just cause. They would say, well, we understand. You know, she lost her parents, both parents, at the age of 17. We understand. Her husband got diagnosed with cancer one day, went to the hospital, and he died. We understand. Her son got shot in the head at 18. We understand. She had to overcome a hearing and speech impediment. We understand. She went through a 6-year divorce where she lost over $1.5 million estate. We understand, okay? But I didn't get caught up in that nightmare. I stayed focused, and I'm staying focused on my dream. Because stuff is going to happen. It's not what happens to you, because stuff is going to happen, but it's definitely how you're going to respond to the stuff that happens to you in your life that's going to make the difference. And that's what I like to share with people, is that those things are going to happen. You know, after Adam and Eve messed up, well, that was the fall of man, and God said it was going to happen, so we know that. But the only thing that's going to help you counter those things is spirit. You can't do it alone. And that's why the people are, you know, trying to do it alone. That's why they're suffering and get caught up in all that stuff you were just talking about earlier.
I got you. I understand. It takes a lot to overcome all those things. Some people, and people have, if we can use the word choose, people have different levels maybe, and different levels of knowledge, number one, to get them through obstacles. I know my grandfather, my grandmother, they had tough hides. You know, they had to go through a lot. They could come through a lot and come out on the other side. My grandfather owned his property, paid cash for a 2-unit way back in the 40s, worked hard, parked cars. He was like 70 years old out there parking cars for the White Sox ballpark because he wanted He wanted to continue working. You know, he retired from his job after 30 years. You know, all these things. They had tough hides. And I got on the bus one day. The temperature dropped to 30 degrees, and people act like they were just freezing to death out here. I was watching them, you know. And it's a variance in, I don't know, and as you say, it's a choice. It's a variance in our tolerance levels to me. Tolerance levels are low for maybe anger. And I'm throwing this out there so you can express maybe anger. People anger faster, whereas maybe they're not angering fast, becoming angry faster or have quicker tempers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're responding differently to the same things.
What you were saying, that responding, that's important, but it stems from your perception or something. Nothing's good, nothing's bad. It's the way you perceive it. People that are able to hang is that their perception of that thing is different, so they respond differently. Yeah. So, but you only change your perceptions with your thoughts. So it all starts with mine. Mine is everything. And maybe one of the reasons your forefathers were able to overcome things is because they were more spiritually connected than people are today. And that was the only thing that they had to depend on. So they were able to pioneer through a lot of those things because they were leading on spirit and not based on what they were seeing. All the odds were against them, you know. And if they didn't have, I say spirit, God, however one wants to refer to a higher power, they wouldn't have been able to counter those things. So basically we have to utilize the same things that they use. We have it much easier. I mean, look at, like you said, your forefathers and what they went through. We don't hardly have that. But we get caught up in all the negatives, and we're telling ourselves we can't do this, we can't do that. And if you're telling yourself that, then you're going to attract that to yourself. So regardless of what's going on, and in my book and also my audio programs that I have available on my webpage, I talk about dream talk, how you communicate to yourself. You have to speak the truth about your life. In other words, if things are going bad, you don't feed into it. You counter it with a positive, and you stay focused on the positive. Don't care how ridiculous it sounds. You just lost your job, and you're saying, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get put outside. I can't hardly pay these bills. And you stay focused on that, that's where you're going to wind up at. But what if you say, you know something, I'm not going out like this. I'm going to go check out the Times newspaper. I'm going to go to the employment office. I'm going to check around. I'm not going to be out on the street. And you stay focused on that, then that's going to pioneer you out of that nightmare. So it starts with your thoughts. The law of attraction only kicks in based on where you're at. So if you're communicating positive self-talk to yourself, then you're going to attract positive things. But if you're communicating negatives, then you're going to attract that thing. So we have more control than we give ourselves credit to. But if you sit around saying how bad the economy is and everybody's feeding into it and you're talking about it, you're going to have a bad time. But the ones that are not talking about it, that's not feeding into it, they're the ones that's going to fare okay.
I got you. Let me. This is CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Sonia Perdue. Our guest this evening is Jacqueline R. Robertson, CTM, and founder of Dream It First. Jacqueline, tell our listeners how they can get about your website and what you do professionally, inspirational speaker, but I'm going to let you tell them what it is that you do and how they can get in contact with you.
Okay, thank you. The website is Dream It First. And the email is dreamitfirst@msn.com. You can go on our website at dreamitfirst.com, and you'll be able to download a free dream diary there. Also, we have available the audio book, Dream It First, which is a three-part dream program to help you manifest your dream. Basically, some of the stuff that I'm sharing with you tonight is just bits and pieces, but there is actually a dream system that you can follow to help you manifest your dream, to facilitate that process, and I have that available. In the near future, you can continually watch our website, and you have information regarding Dream It First, the 80-20 Law, which is a book that I have, and the foreword, hopefully, Bishop T.D. Jakes has offered to do that, and we'll have that included in the book. So it's a lot of information there for you, and of course, You can contact me directly. My number is there on the webpage for individual coaching. I am a life coach. My background is varied. I'm a real estate broker, licensed real estate broker in the state of California, and I'm a certified bonded paralegal. And I've had about 25 years or so in the healthcare field. I've owned and operated two adult residential facilities for developmentally disabled. I worked in the field of occupational therapy as a COTA, occupational therapy practitioner. I'm a notary public. I've held an insurance license. I do business and motivational speaking. I've done a lot of things. Anything I dream, I'm able to manifest it, you know, and it's exciting. And I like to share that with people. And that's probably how I got to this point, is just letting people know that you're going to have challenges and things are going to be happening in your life. But if you stay focused, you can manifest your dreams. I'm a living witness of that. I've not had a lot of positives, but I didn't stay focused on those negatives. You know, I was able to manifest my dreams. And I have other dreams that I'm in the process of manifesting now. And there is a science to it, you know, and I want to share that with people so they won't be caught up and running around trying to try all these things like the voodoo man that you just spoke about, trying to get a quick fix, you know. I won't say it's a quick fix, but there is an easy fix, and it all starts with yourself, and it's the mind that God has given you, and you can create anything you want according to law.
And I wasn't going to end the conversation here, but, you know, I have a tendency, Jacqueline, to talk, and like I said, the show will run out, and I haven't gotten all the information in. So I'm learning how to you give my guests some room to tell about themselves. Now, one thing I did notice also that your bio said that you started 5 businesses with no money. How do you start a business with no money?
It all starts
Everybody
with a dream.
Wants to know that. Everybody
with a dream. Starts with a dream, a vision, just like I related to you. You know, you have a dream, you have a vision. You see, I really believe that if you weren't capable of receiving that dream, you wouldn't have never had it. So you dream whatever you want. And then the next step, as minute as it sounds, you stay focused on that dream. And the law of attraction and all the other laws are going to kick in to help that dream manifest. So everything I started, I didn't have the resources. I didn't even have the knowledge a lot of times, but I just knew I wanted to do that. So your will is God's will. Basically, it was his will first and then given to you secondly. So it is your dream. A lot of people think they got to pray for their dream. You already know what you want to do. You just haven't accepted it. You have to accept it and receive it. And once you receive it, then that's one of the first steps to the manifestation of the dream. A lot of people, you know, they don't even want to verbalize their dream. You have to verbalize and say, this is what I want to do. That is the first step, is to stand up and say, this is what I want to do. I don't know how. I don't know when. This is what I want to do, and this is what I'm going to do. And spiritual law will pioneer that dream for you.
Now, do you do personal counseling, or is everything done through your speaking and through your audio?
No, to answer your question. I do public speaking, then I have the audio book. I have the book that's coming out. I also do one-to-one coaching for individuals that feel that they want to have that on more of a one-to-one basis.
Okay. I got you. Our caller number is 347-326-9477. I see people on the line, but you have to press 1 if you'd like to ask the question. Now, one thing I want to go back to, and you may have answered it, but I don't believe I heard it. How does one define their own personal success? Is that the same thing, a dream? How do I define my personal success?
Well,
or do I just know
impressive. Basically, the definition of being successful or success is not what most people think it is. Success is the progressive realization of or the ideal or goal. So once you have stood up and said, this is what I want to do, you are successful. That's the first step. because success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal or goal. Just like with your show, you're in the process and you're happy and you're feeling good because you're working towards a goal, objective, a dream. You are successful. So you have identified your own personal success, because you're not successful in something if you're not happy. That's why people would have a lot of money and they're miserable. They don't think they're successful. Nobody else does either, because the happiness has to go along with it.
If you really look at it, we have successes every day, don't we? We have little ones, we have big ones.
Definitely.
Because every day we wake up, we are fulfilling goals. And, you know, sometimes, Jacqueline, I think, and I'm going to go back to the beginning of our conversation about feeding ourselves. And I think audios are important. And because I have a little note here. I have all these little notes that I don't follow, Jacqueline. I'm just so hard at it. I get so distracted. But I have a note that I'm supposed to do my readings a half an hour before I touch this computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something about me and this computer that I skip these readings, which is supposed to set my frame of mind, you know, for the day, you know, get me started and pointing in the right direction. I'm supposed to read my affirmations, a little Ernest Holmes and a little Greek mythology, whatever it is I'm reading, you know. And I get, before I touch this computer in the morning, but it seems like that happens like 2 days out the month, because I'm always thinking about what it is I have to do. And it's all training, isn't it, Jacqueline? It's all training, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And a lot of times you don't get caught up in the little things. In other words, we're human. And so what if you miss a day? That's a ritual. As long as you're staying focused on the overall, you're on track. Don't beat yourself up because you missed your little ritual. You may do something else that day that will give you more power than that little ritual would. And sometimes we get caught up in the idiosyncrasies, and we're hard on ourselves. So what if you miss a day? You can get it in later on. You know, as long as you go go that whole day with getting some positives, you're on track.
Okay, I feel better. I feel so much
better. Other than
better.
That, and then spirit is not there because you're entertaining negative. And you're feeling bad, and so that can't be spirit, you know?
Okay. I understand perfectly. I'll stop doing that because I have a tendency, and it's not, you know, me, it's a us thing, because it's the same thing with the food thing, right? They'll go through their ritual about their food, and they'll fall off the bandwagon. And one day, and then they feel defeated. I've done it 1,000 times. But instead of falling off the wagon entirely, you know, maybe it's just a little bump in the road. But we take it so seriously. I do. But I'm not the only one that does it. Take it so seriously. Like this is a key to just go eat me a whole cake now. I messed up.
The thing is to know is that we're human, and if you fall, just make sure you fall face up, like Les Brown says, because you can look up, you can get up, okay? And if you're not failing, you're not being successful. You can fail yourself up to the top, you know what I'm saying? You can do that. So it's okay if you mess up. Just be aware that you messed up and get back on track. The bad thing is when you're not aware that you messed up. And before you know it, it's months gone, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm 50 pounds overweight. What happened?
I know what you mean.
That's your conscious mind giving you a signal that you need to get back on track. So go ahead and eat that cake and enjoy it and be happy. And when you get through with it, get back on the diet.
Get back on it. This is CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. We're here with Jacqueline Ira Robinson, founder of Dream It First. Do you have some final comments for our listeners, Jacqueline?
Well, basically, I can talk all night. So if there's any questions that anyone would like for me to answer, that would be great.
There are some people in the chat room, but I don't put them on the spot. If you want to ask the question, press 1. I don't know if they're listening in the chat room, because I don't want to put them on the spot. You know, I did that once, and I think the woman almost had a heart attack. She didn't have her hand raised, and she just almost just – so only if they have their hands raised. If you press the number 1, you can ask the guest the question. Otherwise, we will not embarrass you. They're sitting there on the phone lines. And that's fine. That's fine. I'd rather have them there and listening and taking it all in. That's just wonderful. That's just wonderful. That is not a problem. Why don't you just stay with us a little while, and we're going to go to a break, and we'll come back, and we'll have just some final remarks from you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. We do have a call on the line. We'll be right back after this announcement. This is your host, Sonia Perdue, for CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest this evening is inspirational speaker, Ms. Jacqueline R. Robertson, founder of Dream It First. The song that you heard after our break was Who Am I, sung by CBBN member Samika. Samika is a native of Louisiana, and this is her freshman album, self-entitled, Samika, Who Am I, I'm Me. We're going to go to our phone lines now. Ms. Robertson, you're back on the line now. We're going to go to our phone lines now. Our caller number is 347-326-9477. caller number 1030. We're going to say the last four digits of your telephone number. Caller 1030, you're on the line. Who's on the line?
Hi, my name is David Washington. I was calling and listening into the show, and I just kind of wanted to find out, because your host, her name is Jacqueline Washington, really talking about some really good stuff. And I just wanted to know, ma'am, when we would be able to find your book, or when is it actually coming out?
Well, the book hopefully should be out the middle of next year sometime.
Okay. Well, and could you give me the name of your website once again? I'm going to go there.
The website is dreamitfirst.com.
All right, dreamitfirst.com. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. I think this is some really good stuff that a lot of us are really needing to hear, and I know especially myself. So thanks again. I really appreciate what you've done, and this is a great show.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Mr. Washington, I want to thank
yes.
you for calling in and be a listener. I'm going to post her web link. We have a blog on CBBN on Blog Talk Radio with Ms. Robertson information and some more information about her. And I'm also going to post her link. Her link is already posted there. Oh, I did my job. Her link is posted there on our webpage,
CBBN on
Blog Talk Radio. So you can pick up all that information, go right into her website, order her Dream Diary. She has an audio there, and I really appreciate it. Do you have a show on Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Washington, or are you just a listener?
No, I'm just a listener, and I had heard you guys talking, and so I just tuned in. So thank you.
I thank you so much for listening. Come back again, okay? Have a wonderful
evening.
All right,
thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Okay, this is CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. This is Sonia Perdue, your host, and we're with Ms. Robertson, founder of Dream It First. We have another caller on the line, one of my regulars, Hussein Hill. How are you doing this evening?
You didn't say my last four digits, my number. You knew it was me.
Now, I know you. I know you.
Okay.
He's Hussein Hill, co-owner of La Diva's Catering of Chicago, is one of our regular listeners and supporters, and we do appreciate it. Mr. Hill, did you have a question for Ms. Robertson?
I had a question and a comment. So my
you have the floor.
Oh, thank you. I hope my comment won't be too divisive, but I can only tell you what I've experienced in my life. I can only give you my life testimony. It's whatever you want to make of it, or you can choose to believe it or not. But anybody who knows me knows that I won't say it if I don't believe it. My question is, Ms. Robertson, you've gone and survived so many things, and it's remarkable. My thing is that when you were at your point of the along the way, I guess you thought it was you had the darkest hour till the next darkest hour came. But during these darkest hours, what were you thinking that pulled you through? Because I think that would be of utmost importance to me at this time in my life and to other people who are listening. Because it's so hard to not close that door on whatever negative things that happen. It's so hard to forgive yourself and forgive other people. So how do you know, what do you tell yourself? You know, do you just basically tell yourself that it's going to be okay, even if you can't see it being okay? And I think that's one of the most difficult things for me and anybody else.
Yeah, definitely. You are right. And that's when spiritual law really, really kicks in, because we are human. When things happen, we are going to respond. I'm sorry, we're going to react. And there's nothing wrong with reacting. That's normal. A lot of people say you don't supposed to react. I mean, if you don't react, you're not normal. But after you get to reacting, you're going to have to get to responding. So, you know, responding is staying on track despite what's going on. You don't want to stay in there in that nightmare. I mean, it's not a good place to be. You know,
How do you break that cycle, though?
Well, I don't think it's a cycle that you go through, but when you have illumination of spiritual truth, you just know that that's part of life. When someone dies, and you're in mourning, for example, you know that when God created us, he created relationships to last forever. So when they're severed and you're going through a withdrawal, that's normal. If you didn't go through that, then that would not be normal. But it doesn't last. You know, time in God is what heals, I believe, all wounds. And if you acknowledge that, that truth, and you keep living, eventually you're going to get through it. And it's going to be a memory, and it can be a good memory or it could be a bad memory, but it's what's going to propel you and give you the strength to go forth, because any obstacle that you go through prepares you for the future. I mean, when you people that make big things happen, they've had big things to happen to them, big bad things. But it's what positioned them to go forth. So just know what you're experiencing. You're going to be able to help other people. I mean, I wouldn't be on this show talking tonight if I hadn't gone through some stuff to be able to let people know that wherever you're at, it's okay. I mean, but you can't stay there. You can't keep your mind focused on that. If you think about that day in, day out, eventually you're going to be insane. But because basically insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, we're getting the same. So if you stay there and you're seeing yourself not manifesting what you want, that's insanity. You want something different. You're going to have to do something different. And it all starts with your mind, staying focused on where you want to go. So I'm not going to say that things are not going to happen. Things are going to happen. But it's not what happens to you. It is definitely how you respond to what happens to you that makes the difference.
Okay. I'm assuming by your diary, did you write down what you want to happen in the future, your goals and your dreams and aspirations? And I'm assuming that you look at this every single day?
Yeah, some goals I do. Basically, when you're setting up goals, you want to feed the subconscious mind with those goals. So in the dream diary I have where you need to have the three P's when you write out your dream or your goal or objective, it has to be in the present tense, it has to be positive, and it has to be personal. That's the way the subconscious mind ciphers information, and that's how you reprogram the subconscious mind. So you may read those affirmations or goals to yourself. You may say those goals to yourself. One important way to feed the subconscious mind basically is before you go to sleep. You just do a little lullaby to yourself and fall asleep. And the subconscious mind, while you're sleeping, goes to work to manifest that dream for you. So it's a lot of different ways you can stay focused on it. And I don't tell people to do this, and that. You know, we're individuals, so we do things differently. Something may work for you that may not work for me. But the number one thing is you want to keep that goal, that dream, that vision in the forefront at all times. Some people do affirmations. They put stuff all over the walls. People, they may write the things down. You know, they may have a recording where they listen to it. It doesn't matter. Basically, what they're doing is they're reprogramming the subconscious mind.
I know exactly what you mean. There's something I used to do when I was in corporate America that I stopped doing, and I have to start it again when I was doing
mm-hmm.
sales. I used to write. I used to be, you know, in the office, you know, banging phones, making sales. And I'd
mm-hmm.
write down the number of sales that I want for that day. And
mm-hmm.
When I made this next sale, I crossed out. Say I wanted to make it five.
Mm-hmm.
When I got
mm-hmm.
to five, the next one was four, then three, then two.
Mm-hmm.
But then this one time I had a funny thing happen. I got down to the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the one sale I needed to make for the five, but I didn't cross the one out.
Sorry, you made the one, and what happened?
Okay, so I got. I went to the 5, 4, 3, 2. But when I got to the 1 and I made that sale, I would have
mm-hmm.
normally crossed it out. But for some reason, something told me don't cross it out, and you'll make
mm-hmm.
one more. And
mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't happen every time,
mm-hmm.
but this did happen. This did happen. And one other time, I said, you know, don't cross it out again, and you'll make another one. And I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that worked for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, but I don't know why I stopped doing it. I have yet to realize why I stopped
That's
doing
okay.
it.
That's okay. You have awareness of it. Now you can get back on track. You know, we all get off track, but it's okay. Some people stay off a track longer than others, 10 years, what have you, but it's okay. You can still get back on track. That was working for you. When you find something that works, don't change it. You know, people have made $1 million off of one sales statement. And when they change, then they have a bad end result. So if that was working for you, then you that was your 20%. You had identified it. And so you shouldn't have deviated from that.
Yeah, I know that, and I'm going to get back to that. And also just writing things down, period, on a separate clean sheet of paper and then looking at them and coming back to them and not obsessing, but just keeping my mind programmed.
Yeah, yeah. And what's your name, sir?
My name is Hussein. Hussein Hill.
Okay. Hussein, probably what happened was something happened in your life that got you off track. You weren't even aware of it. And then when you did come around, you forgot where you were at.
Oh, a lot of things. Actually,
got caught up in the reaction, you know, and that happens to all of us.
The single thing that happened was I lost my mom. That's what the single thing that
happened.
Yes,
definitely. I knew something there. And really, that's when we need to do these things more so when we're going through our tough times. You need it more so then. You don't need it when the good times, when and like the spiritual song says, in times like these, we need a Bible. Well, in times like that, you need all the positives that you can get to keep you on track. You really do.
Definitely. Now, here's my comment, okay? And it's both to you and Sister Sonia. And,
okay.
Take it for what it's worth, but it's with my right hand. To the creator. I don't know about that brother, sister, that brother you found in the parking lot, Sonia. But I can tell you for a fact that, and I don't know about everybody, but the ability to tell the future is very real. My personal testimony of it is as follows. My great uncle, for lack of a better word, was a fortune teller. He told my mother about meeting my dad and having me. Interesting thing about that is that my mother and father were both married to two separate people before they ran into, well, actually, the whole story is like this. Back when my dad was 19 and my mom was 14, they ran into each other in a park down in Champaign-Urbana. Too young to get married. He was off in World War II, but somehow they got back together. And they got married after being married to two different people. And my mother was pregnant three times. One would have been an older brother, but she miscarried, then me, and then would have been a younger brother. But I was the only one that she had, like my great uncle told her. And even then, it's interesting because if it wasn't for a friend of the family who happened to be her pediatrician, I wouldn't be here either because I had the umbilical cord wrapped around my throat. We're talking about February 10, 1958. So we're not talking about all the high-tech gadgets we have now to detect that. In addition to that, my mother had the ability at one point to know without a doubt when my dad was lying, and that upset her so much that she prayed to have that removed, and it was. And in my case, I have before, it's not every day, it's only maybe a handful of times in my life, but I have been able to tell people what was going to happen to them before it happened to them. And not just some specious thing, exactly, right even down to a date. And each time, exactly what I told them was going to happen to them happened to them.
Then you have the skill. You have it.
But
and
I heard Ms. Robinson say that. Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
I never sold it. I have never made a penny off of it. I'm about to go broke, so it's not
you
money.
I want to make a comment there.
Not
you
money,
know,
for sure.
Yeah, we have people that's listening from different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm spiritually pioneered, and I'm led by spiritual truth. Now, even the Bible says that there will be prophets, and basically people that prophesize is where they're speaking truth about someone's life. And that's mm-hmm. the extent that I go with that. I'm not saying that it does not exist. But for people to not do the spiritual work for creating their dreams and leaning on someone to just to tell them where they're going, it's not very spiritually sound, is what I'm saying.
Oh, and I agree 100%. I just want to clarify that, because, I mean, is it possible? Yeah, I have absolutely no control whatsoever. It doesn't happen every day. It's sometimes years. It's been years since something like that has happened. It's usually somebody I know, but one time it was someone I just met for the first time that day and just felt compelled. Something just came over me to tell them that even though they had just lost their job, that they were going to find another job doing the same line of work in 45 days, paying them more money than ever made before in their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard stories of that, and that's basically how it goes. You move spiritually to speak truth over someone's life, and it's usually in a positive, you know, and that's how God works. I don't know about relating negative stuff to people, so I don't have a knowledge base on
that. I've never ever. Thank God, I've never ever seen anything. Well, the closest thing that came to was my oldest and dearest friend, and I told him that if he weren't careful, that he was going to run into a back of a bus because he was going to see this woman he thought was so beautiful on Michigan Avenue. On the day that I saw that, and I told him that, he didn't ride his motorcycle that day. Oddly enough, we did catch the bus, and oddly enough, we did go to Water Tower Place, which is on Michigan Avenue. I was working there, and gave him a reference for a job. He came out of the place and met this woman he thought was so beautiful, and he said that he spent the day with her. And he said to me that if he had seen her, he probably would have run in the back of a bus. That's the only negative thing that I've even come close to seeing for anybody.
So you can prophesize. You know, I believe in those things, and I see the difference in what you're talking about, Miss Robinson. People searching out fortune tellers to
that's different.
What they believe is the easiest way out for them. Tell me this. Show me the way. Tell me what to do, basically. That's what they're saying to them. And I have been to a fortune teller before, and she was very good, too. And she did tell me something, and it did come true. But as far as prophecies also, I've been able to do that, but I don't double around in that, Hussein Hill. But this is Sonya Perdue, CBBN on Blog Talk Radio, and you're listening to Jacqueline Robertson, founder of Dream It First. We do have one more caller on the line. Hussein, did you have another comment? I was going to go to the phone.
No. I just, you're doing a wonderful job. I'm never jealous, but I'm envious because I haven't done an interview in such a long time, and, you know, you're doing such a great work, and it inspires me, if that's the Creator's will, to get back doing it myself. So keep on doing it, sister. You're doing a great job.
Why did you stop interviewing, Hussein? Took a break?
Nah, that was part of it. I try to always tell the truth no matter even if it's embarrassing or not. And the truth is, when I got the Magic Jack, it was to replace my phone, and it works, except I cannot do outbound three-way calling on it.
Oh, my goodness.
So
the little things.
It's the littlest thing. I know.
They get us, don't they?
It does everything for that.
Hussein is a member of Chicago's Black Business Network. So we talk like this very often and very comfortably on my show. And I do appreciate it because we talk about everything on this show.
Whether it's your show or my show, I don't hide it. I don't have any secrets. It's an open book. And if it's, you know, even if it's embarrassing or if it's some negative things I've done in my past life, it happened. I'm not going to lie about lying, but that's the one thing I can't stand. Why lie about lying?
I get it.
It's bad enough you did whatever you did wrong to begin with.
Well, see, say goodnight to Miss Robertson.
Good night. It's been wonderful, and I can't wait to get your book and to learn.
Oh, great. Okay,
Okay,
thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank you. So you just stay on the line. This is Chicago's Black Business Network. This is your host, Sonia Perdue. Caller number 9840, Boise Queen. Is that you?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Sonia?
How are you this evening?
Okay. I just stopped in to say hello and also to say hello to Ms. Robertson. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Good. Yeah.
Ms. Robertson, I want you to know the music that you were listening to in the beginning of the show, Grace Steele's In the Rain. This is the writer and composer and pianist, Boise Queen.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I managed to read some of I got your email, Sonia, about Mrs. Robertson being on the show.
Great.
And what intrigued me was the fact is that all of the struggles that was briefly mentioned here, and it sort of reflected or mimicked a little bit of my own. Okay. I think basically I could start off, and I'll just keep it brief because I know you might have other callers on the line, but I remember back I took care of my mother for 12 years with Alzheimer in her home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was married at the time, and it was a two-flat building in Chicago. Okay. And just to give you just a brief overview, when my mother was first diagnosed as having Alzheimer, okay, the first beginning stages of it, I was settled with a huge decision.
Mm-hmm.
People were telling me, well, you know, get her in a home, get power of attorney, get her in a home, and so forth. Right. Mm-hmm. Away, they'll be able to work with her and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I went the other way with it.
Mm-hmm.
I said I was going to try to do this myself. Now, I come from a family with no other siblings but myself, the only kid, okay? And if somebody were to tell me all of the things that I experienced for 12 years taking care of an aging parent in her home,
mm-hmm.
almost single-handedly, that I would wind up doing that, some of the things that I did and so forth,
mm-hmm.
I would swear basically they must have been smoking something. Okay, because I could not see myself doing mm-hmm. all of the, I mean, literally, my wife was sick as well. We were married in 1988,
mm-hmm.
She had a heart condition. A valve in her heart was defaultive, in which
mm-hmm.
she had to stay during hot summer months in an air conditioned environment. She couldn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and other than that, the rest of the time of the year, she was very instrumental in helping me to take care of my mother while I went to work and so forth. But she got sicker and sicker and sicker. She also suffered from diabetes type 1.
Mm-hmm.
She also suffered from petite grand mal seizures, which she was under medication for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually I had to end up taking care of both women and still work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which was a monumental task because basically in the sense is that the income that was coming in, even though my mother owned the building, and my wife and I stayed upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and my mother was downstairs, is the fact there was not enough income coming in to be able to pay those bills,
mm-hmm.
unless somebody was working, making a salary,
mm-hmm.
and that was me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had to get my mother up. When she got to the point where she couldn't help herself, I had to get her. In fact, we rigged a baby monitor downstairs so I could
mm-hmm.
hear her upstairs. you know, if she got into trouble or was calling or what have you. Sometimes I would come down as early as 2 o'clock in the morning, change her bed, wash her, even sometimes put her in the tub and had to wash her. Okay? And then wash the linen, don some rubber gloves, wash the soiled linen by hand before I put it in the machine. Okay? By the time I got finished with all of that, it was 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I might as well stay up. Now it was time to fix up breakfast to get ready for the home care person to come in while I went to work, because I had to be on the job for 9 o'clock. Okay? And this would go on continuously. Okay? And not only that, I you know, I had to balance the budget because I had power of attorney on her health as well as her finances. Run to and from with her to the doctor, everything. Make sure the house was spick and span. I mean clean. You couldn't even – I kept that place clean even when the home care worker was there. I made sure – I said, when I walk in the door, I do not want to smell any urine. And that was the cardinal rule written in blood. Okay? Because if I smell urine, that means you let her sit up in here in some dirty diapers and so forth, because it takes urine a time to smell. Okay?
Definitely.
So that was a cardinal rule. What to make a long story short, what I'm getting to is this. Just, you know, through all the struggles and tribulations that I went through for 12 years, and as she progressed worse and worse and worse, okay, I still pursued my music. Okay?
Beautiful.
I still pursued my music. I didn't know how I did it. It was something, when I look back on it, I say, how did I come through all of this? Okay? And even some of the worst of times, for instance, my mother passed the day after Christmas, 2000, at Alden Manor Nursing Home. Okay? Because I did have to have her in there because she, you know, it was well beyond my capacity to be, you know, she, and that was only for a short stay. But while she was there, she did pass. But even after she passed, and my wife was and I were still together, I still kept creating music. Okay? My wife passed the day, I mean, she passed February 4th, that following February 4th, 2001. They almost went back to back. Okay? And I had, you know, a lot of people I hear tell go into a depression and so forth, what have you. I got firsthand experience of what a depression is like when you have two back-to-back deaths in the family and you're left with no one. I had no one. All my family was dead now, and I'm the only one left in the building. The only thing alive in the building other than myself were the two cats that were left behind. Okay? If anybody wants to know what loneliness is, here you are, you're the only kid in the family, and you've never been without someone that you loved and loved you, and then all of a sudden, almost overnight, you're left with nothing. Okay? Or at least what you perceived as nothing. Okay? And I remember that one night, that one day after I attended my wife's funeral, that following evening, because I had gone to work the next day, and really I shouldn't have. I still had a little part-time job. Okay. But I went back, and, you know, I got on the phone and called. There was a hotline to, you know, Reverend Brazier's church. Of course, he's retired now over at the Apostolic Church of God out here on 69th Street. I called their hotline over there. It was in the evening. And told them, they stayed on the line with me at least for about an hour. And they sent somebody over at my house. And I'm all the way over here on the west side. And they sent somebody over there. And they prayed with me and laid hands on me. Okay? And that was the greatest uplift that I've ever had throughout all of this whole ordeal. Okay? A week later, as time went on, a week later, I sat down to piano and still composed stuff out of my head. After I thought, well, my piano playing days were over. The fact is, I had no family anymore. Okay? The point I'm trying to get at here is that despite the tragedies that happen with a person, if you have a calling greater than yourself to do, you're going to do it.
Definitely.
Through that, through tragedy, through all of that. If you have a calling greater than yourself, extended out, you're going to do it. Even if you think you're not going to do it, you're going to do it. You're going to find yourself doing it anyway.
Definitely.
You know, and that's what, when I sit down with musicians, I'm CEO now of Talent 8 Promotions Entertainment, and sometimes musicians, I explain this to a lot of musicians that come to me, you know, I give them consultation over the phone, you know, and so forth. They have problems, there's somebody in their family, it's affecting their music. I had a singer, beautiful voice, you know, and she's, you know, there's domestic violence occurring in her family and so forth, and she called me, she said, what am I going to do, and so forth. You know, and even though I didn't have that kind of a background, the fact is that I find myself trying to give people the energy to be able to focus strictly on themselves, okay? To focus on yourselves in terms of knowing that you have a calling greater than the tragedy that you're experiencing that you think is going to hold you back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And
that's a phenomenal story, Boise.
Let us
have Ms. Robinson give a response.
Okay, all right.
Boy, that was so touching.
Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal.
I can really relate to it. And what you related was very truthful, and that was a beautiful knowledge of how we go through tragedies, but yet there's something on the other end of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you come out a stronger person for it. Because that's your calling, regardless of what's happening on the exterior world, that dream is for you. And you stay focused on it. And when you come back, it's going to still be there for you. You know, so sometimes you have to stop and deal with stuff that life presents you, but then you get back on track. And that's when I say you start to respond, because you already went through the reaction. And that's what life does to you. I'm not saying that things are going to be perfect. In fact, most of the people that are quote-unquote successful have gone through a lot of stuff, and that's why they're able to reach back and touch other people, because they've gone through it, and their story, you know, really does affect people, let them know, hey, if they can do it, I can do it too, and I didn't have it as bad as they had it. So that's why you're able to touch people and to move on. And I just want to add that you were able to weather the things that you had been through, because your parents had made your mom had made enough deposits in your life to last your lifetime. And so you did what you had to do. And it was a normal reaction. You didn't know how you were going to do it, but you knew you were going to do it, and you had to do it. And job well done.
Okay. I just want to give credit also to my dad, too. He died in 1988, the same year I got married. I've watched this man, and a lot of people think I'm lying when I tell them this. My grandfather left my father when he was 7 years old on the frozen sidewalk on the streets of New York, West 47th Street, in pursuit of gambling and women. And the last words that my father always reiterated, he asked him, he said, "Where are you going?" He told him, he said, "I'm going someplace where you should hope you don't wind up going to." And he never saw my grandfather again until he got grown. And when he did, gangrene had set in both legs from diabetes. At that time, the only way you could treat diabetes or gangrene was through penicillin. This was back in, my father was 7 years old. He was born in 1902. Well, he was born in 1902. And I remember they took me to this tenement flat in Brooklyn. And if anybody has ever experienced a person with gangrene, it's about the most horrible smell you could ever, because basically the flesh is literally rotting away from the bone.
Definitely.
Okay, and the stench was horrible.
Yes, it is.
And my grandfather was sitting there, and he was not a religious man. He never hardly went to church in his life. But I saw this man call out the name of Jesus Christ over and over again as he had both feet in a pan of soak with all that yellow pus running, open sore, and they had to amputate him. My father took that old man that left him on the streets of when he was 7 years old and never saw him until that moment, took this man back to Chicago here to Cook County Hospital. They amputated his legs, and he took that man and cared for him. His own father, who left him, took him in the home and cared for him until the day he died. My grandfather died at 96 years old.
Wow. That's a scary man.
And my mother, my father worked on the railroad, stayed out 6 days, was home 7. And the days that he was on the railroad as a Pullman porter for the Burlington Railroad, my mother took care of my father. Those are the kind of parents, I mean my grandfather, those are the kind of parents that I've witnessed. And I look back on it now, and I said, that's why I weathered the storm.
Mm-hmm. That's why. That's absolutely
why.
It.
You know, and I look at a lot of these kids and a lot of these parents of these kids today. And I believe that's the reason why a lot of kids are out here doing the kind of atrocious things that they're doing. It's because they didn't have strong parents like I had. They didn't have forgiving parents like I had.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Boise,
mm-hmm.
Make your final comments, and I'm going to have Ms. Robertson make her final comments, and we're going to close out the show.
Okay. I think I've said everything. This is something that I wanted to air out, and hopefully that if anybody else is out there is listening, that maybe it would inspire them to give them food for thought in terms of any trials and struggles that they may have encountered and so forth. Because, you know, you can overcome stuff if you look beyond yourself in terms of things that you know. Everybody was born to do something here, positive, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You got to find it. And once you find it, basically you found your soul. That's your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Helping yourself through helping somebody else.
Definitely.
That's
absolutely
right. That's your soul, okay? And I, you know, I look at it from the standpoint, a person who does not help themselves through helping somebody else
mm-hmm.
throughout his entire life, I look at, you don't have a soul.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really call yourself human?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's my only comment to that. Okay.
You know, boys, we're going to have to give you a whole show. We're going to give you a...
definitely.
We're going to schedule a whole show for you.
Well,
and I'm serious. We're gonna do that. We're going to play your music. We're going to talk. And we're going to have a whole show for you. That's what we're going to do.
That would be fantastic.
We're going to do that. We're going to do that in the let's do it in the beginning of the year. Let's
okay.
do that.
Okay.
I appreciate your support. I appreciate you all the time, Boise.
Okay.
Let me close out, Ms. Robinson. I thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Boise.
Thank you, Ms. Robinson. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a great evening. This is Sonya Perdue, CBBN, on Blog Talk Radio. We're here with Ms. Jacqueline R. Robertson, founder of Dream It First. Ms. Robertson, your closing remarks, please.
Well, basically, that you have the inborn right and potential to dream and go anywhere you want in this world, in this universe. The key is just to know who you are and which known roles to take.
And,
give
our listenership.
Along with my audio programs and my speeches are those known roles. So, you know, check us out at the website and look forward to the book coming out next year. And thank you so much, Sonya, for having me on your show tonight. I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it, too. I have a lot to think about, and I will think about it. This is like it's late here where it's 9 o'clock here, so this will be food for thought for me for tonight.
Definitely.
It's going to all sink in and wash all over me. So I'm really grateful. I want to see what's going to happen in the morning because I know that something is going to come of this in the morning. I appreciate you so much, and we're going to do it again. Thank you so much.
Okay, good night. Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank our guests, and I certainly want to thank our callers. And with Hussein Hill, thank you so much, Hussein. I do enjoy this show. I learn every week, every time I talk to someone, every time I talk to you, every time I talk to Boise, I learn something. This show is giving, it gives me something beyond, something I've never had before. It's just amazing. I've got just a couple of minutes here, but I want to close out the show with just one thing. I found it. Actually, this is Miss Robertson's inspirational speech from her website. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next week. This is CBBN on Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate all of
Hello,
you.
Hello, my name is Jacqueline Robertson, but they don't call me that. They call me the Dream Sister, and let me tell you why. Because I know that the entire secret to every aspect of life has to do with dreaming. If one doesn't have a bigger dream, bigger than the nightmare that they're currently experiencing in their life, then that nightmare is a dream that they're going to have to take with them. In my life, I had some serious challenges and deficits to overcome. A hearing and a speech impairment at an early age. The loss of both of my parents at the age of 17. Then after 21 years of marriage, losing my spouse abruptly to cancer. And thereafter, my only son receiving a near-fatal gunshot wound to the head. And most recently, a long, tragic, chronic 4-year divorce where I was at risk of losing everything that I had possibly worked for up until this point in life. Regardless of those things that occurred in my life, I had a bigger dream. And that's the point that I drive home in my presentation, that regardless of where you are in life, your present or past conditions or the cards that you feel that life has inappropriately dealt you, you can begin to live your dreams. It's your inborn, innate right to dream and go anywhere you want in this universe. The key is to know who and where you are and what known roles to take to make those dreams that you hold deep within yourself to come realization in your life. My presentations and workshops and seminars are those known roles. My topics include my signature speech, Dream It First, how to manifest that dream into your life, dream attitude, how to deal with life's unexpected changes and challenges once that dream is manifested in order to stay on track with that dream. Then finally, the secrets of success and happiness, which is basically the secrets of service and how serving others with the spiritual seed of reciprocity that you can begin to live your dreams. My objective in life is to share the role maps that I know that will lead to growth and the exciting process of growth. You never, never, never stop dreaming.
We are appreciative of all of our friends, listeners, and members who joined us today. We welcome your thoughts and comments at cbbn@blogtalkradio.com. This is a learning process for all of us. Let's grow and learn together. You are surrounded by resources and tools to take you to the next level in life and business. You don't have to make the journey alone. Join us at chicagosblackbusinessnetwork.com and touch the world. The music in the opening announcement is Bass Vibes. The closing piece is Shades of Spring. Both were written and composed by Kevin McLeod and can be listened to in their entirety on our site. Thank you and have a wonderful night.